It's Christmas morning.
Oh, I got one from Grandma. Oh.
Well, if my present is any indication, you got socks.
Dad?
I wonder what it really is. Welcome to the Christmas edition of Focus on the Family. And for the next 30 minutes, we have something special for you to enjoy. I wish we could spend a little time around the tree or the dinner table or wherever today with each of you. But, of course, that's not possible, so this radio broadcast is the next best thing. Our host, of course, is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, and I'm Mike Trout.
Mike, do you realize that there were newborn babies in the arms of their mothers when I started this thing who are now grown? And in fact, it's not unusual for people to come up to me on the street and say, I was raised by your books and my parents listened to your early programs.
And now many of them have children of their own. Our own daughter, our youngest daughter, Meredith, was born just a few days after I started at Focus on the Family. She's never known any experience for me work-wise.
You feel a little old today.
I definitely
but
do.
But I feel good because I love this time of year. And it is a real treat for our listeners to be able to tell them what we have in store for them today. We have a couple of surprises for today. And the first has to do with the Colorado Springs Children's Chorale is with us today. They're here in the studio. Shirley and I attended a dinner party last week at the home of one of the vice presidents of Focus on the Family, and this choir came by to sing, and I tell you, this is no typical children's choir. Mm-hmm. These youngsters have great voices. Their presence is just incredible. I wish that our listeners had television today so they could see their faces, but they've agreed to come by and sing a couple of numbers for us, and the director, Mrs. Lynn Branford, is with us. Lynn, welcome to Focus on the Family.
Thank you very much. It's our pleasure to be here today.
Well, thank you for being here today. And you just sang for our staff here at Focus on the Family. And I'd like you to sing now for all of those people out there who are listening to us today across the United States and Canada and around the world.
We'll be glad to do that.
Ah. Isn't that great, Mike?
That's wonderful. I could listen to small children sing for hours. I love their voices.
Again, I just wish you could see their faces.
Yes.
They have been trained in stage presence, in looking you in the eye and smiling. It's a very impressive choir.
We're embarrassing them.
Yeah, I know we are. Go ahead, Lynn. Let's hear the second number.
Dream, what we long to see you all day.
and we can see our dreams come true. Dream a dream of a world united, when the nations choose to lay their weapons down. Dare to hope for a day of gladness, when the world can let us smile replace our frown. If we all will dare to dream dreams of a new and brighter day, if we want to make them come true, we will surely find a way. Dream a dream
of the world we long to stand to hold,
the day when men are free. Someday we can see our dreams come true.
Isn't that wonderful?
Beautiful song. Thought about world peace on this day when we remember the Prince of Peace.
Consistent with what this day is all about. Lynn, thank you again for bringing the children by, and I just trust that you'll remain healthy and the kids will remain healthy through the Christmas season. I know that this is a difficult time for you all, but it's fun too, isn't it?
It is. It's fun and it's busy, and the kids learn a lot about pacing themselves. It's a wonderful lifelong skill, actually.
Well, we appreciate you putting us into your schedule, and I know that we'll hear from people all across the North America, certainly, and around the world who enjoyed what you did today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting us to come.
Well, it's going to be tough to top that, but we do have a second half to this broadcast. You mentioned at the top that we have a couple of surprises in our Christmas package today.
And this one I also enjoy, Mike. I want to read a wonderful story for the balance of the program today that is entitled Delayed Deliveries, written by a woman named Kathy Miller. This is one of my favorite stories, has a great Christmas feel to it, and I really believe our listeners are going to enjoy it.
I agree, and it has a surprise ending, so stay tuned all the way through.
There had never been a winter like this one. Stella watched from the haven of her armchair as gusts of snow whipped themselves into a frenzy. She feared to stand close to the window, unreasonably afraid that somehow the blizzard might be able to reach her there, sucking her, breathless, out into the chaos, straightening her back against the pain that threatened to keep her stooped. She set out determinedly for the kitchen. In the doorway to the next room, she paused, her mind blank, wondering what purpose had propelled her there. From the vent above the stove, the scream of the wind threatened to funnel the afternoon storm directly down into the tiny house. Stella focused her brown eyes on the stovetop clock. The 3:15 time reminded her that she had headed in there to take something out of the freezer for her supper. Another lonely meal that she didn't feel like preparing, much less eating. Suddenly, she grabbed the handle of the refrigerator and leaned her forehead against the cold, white surface of the door as a wave of self-pity threatened to drown her. It was too much to bear, losing her beloved Dave this summer. How was she to endure the pain, the daily nothingness? She felt the familiar ache in her throat and squeezed her eyes tightly shut to hold the tears at bay. Stella drew herself upright and shook her head in silent chastisement. She reiterated her litany of thanks. She had her health, her tiny home, an income that should suffice for the remainder of her days. She had her books, her television programs, her needlework. There were the pleasures of her garden in the spring and summer, and walks through the wilderness park at the end of her street, and the winter birds that brightened the feeders outside her kitchen picture window. Not today, though, she thought ruefully, as the blizzard hurled itself against the eastern wall of the kitchen. Ah, Dave, I miss you so. I never minded storms when you were here. The sound of her own voice echoed hollowly in the room. She turned on the radio that stood on the counter next to the neatly descending row of wooden canisters. A sudden joyful chorus of Christmas music filled the room, but it only served to deepen her loneliness. Stella had been prepared for her husband's death. Since the doctor's pronouncement of terminal lung cancer, they had both faced the inevitable, striving to make the most of their remaining time together. Dave's financial affairs had always been in order. There were no new burdens in the widowed state. It was just the awful aloneness, the lack of purpose to her days. They had been a childless couple. It had been their choice. Their lives had been full and rich. They had been content with busy careers and with each other. They had had many friends. Had. That was the operative word these days. It was bad enough losing the one person you loved with all your heart. But over the past few years, she and Dave repeatedly had to cope with the deaths of their friends and relations. And now, on this first Christmas without Dave, Stella would be on her own. Mabel and Jim had invited her to spend the holiday with them in Florida, but somehow that had seemed worse than staying at home alone. Not only would she miss her husband, but she would miss the snow and the winter and the familiarity of her home. With shaky fingers, she lowered the volume of the radio so that the music became a muted background. She glanced toward the fridge briefly, then decided that a hot bowl of soup would be more comforting fare this evening. To her surprise, she saw that the mail had come. She hadn't even heard the creak of the levered mail slot in the front door. Poor mailman out in this weather, neither hail nor sleet. With the inevitable wince of pain, she bent to retrieve the damp white envelopes from the floor. Moving into the living room, she sat on the piano bench to open them. They were mostly Christmas cards, and her sad eyes smiled at the familiarity of the traditional scenes and at the loving messages inside. Carefully, her arthritic fingers arranged them among the others clustered on the piano top. In her entire house, they were the only seasonal decoration. The holiday was less than a week away, but she just didn't have the heart to put up a silly tree or even set up a stable that Dave had built with his own hands. Suddenly engulfed by the loneliness of it all, Stella buried her lined face in her hands, lowering her elbows to the piano keys in a harsh, abrasive discord, and let the tears come. How would she possibly get through Christmas in the winter beyond it? She longed to climb into bed and bury herself in a cocoon of blankets, not emerging until her friends and the spring returned. The ring of the doorbell echoed in the high-pitched, discordant piano notes that was so unexpected that Stella had to stifle a small scream of surprise. Now, who could possibly be calling on her on a day like today? Wiping her eyes, she noticed for the first time how dark the room had become. The doorbell sounded a second time. Using the piano for leverage, she raised herself upright and headed for the front door, switching on the living room light as she passed. She opened the wooden door and stared through the screened window of the storm door in consternation. On her front porch, buffeted by waves of snow and wind, stood a strange young man whose hatless head was barely visible above the large carton in his arms. She peered beyond him to the driveway, but there was nothing about the small car to give a clue as to his identity. Returning her gaze to him, she saw that his hands were bare and his eyebrows had lifted in an expression of hopeful appeal that was fast disappearing behind the frost forming on the glass. Summoning courage, the elderly lady opened the door slightly, and he stepped sideways to speak into the space. "Mrs. Thornhope," she nodded affirmation, her extended arm beginning to tremble with cold and the strain of holding the door against the wind. He continued predictably, "I have a package for you." Curiosity drove warning thoughts from her mind. She pushed the door far enough to enable a stranger to shoulder it and step back into the foyer to make room for him. He entered, bringing with him the frozen breath of the storm. Smiling, he placed his burden carefully on the floor and stood to retrieve an envelope that protruded from his pocket. As he handed it to her, a sound came from the box. Stella actually jumped. The man laughed in apology and bent to straighten up the cardboard flaps, holding them open in an invitation for her to peek inside. She advanced cautiously and then turned her gaze downward. It was a dog. To be more exact, a golden Labrador retriever puppy. As the gentleman lifted its squirming body up into his arms, he explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." The young pup wiggled in happiness at being released from captivity and thrust ecstatic, wet kisses in the direction of his benefactor's chin. "We were supposed to deliver him on Christmas Eve," he continued with some difficulty as he strove to rescue his chin from the wet little tongue. "But the staff at the kennel start their holidays tomorrow. Hope you don't mind an early present." Shock had stolen her ability to think clearly. Unable to form coherent sentences, she stammered, "But I mean, who?" The young fellow set the animal down on the doormat between them and then reached out a finger to tap the envelope she was holding. "There's a letter in there that explains everything, pretty much. The dog was bought last July while her mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift. If you'll just wait a minute, there's some things in the car that I'll get for you." Before she could protest, he was gone, returning in a moment with a huge box of dog food, a leash, and a book entitled Caring for Your Labrador Retriever. All this time, the puppy had sat quietly at her feet, panting happily as his brown eyes watched her. Unbelievably, the stranger was turning to go. Desperation forced the words from her lips. But who? Who bought it? Pausing in the open doorway, his words almost snatched away by the wind that tousled his hair, he replied, "Your husband, ma'am." And then he was gone. It was all in the letter. Forgetting the puppy entirely at this sight of the familiar handwriting, Stella had walked like a somnambulist to her chair by the window. Unaware that the little dog had followed her, she forced tear-filled eyes to read her husband's words. He had written it 3 weeks before his death and had left it with the kennel owners to be delivered, along with the puppy, as his last Christmas gift to her. It was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him, and he had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. Remembering the little creature for the first time, she was surprised to find him quietly looking up at her, his small panting mouth resembling a comic smile. Stella put the pages aside and reached down for the bundle of golden fur. She thought that he would be heavier, but he was only the size and weight of a sofa pillow, and so soft and warm. She cradled him in her arms, and he licked her jawbone, then cuddled up into the hollow of her neck. The tears began anew at this exchange of affection, and the dog endured her crying without moving. Finally, Stella lowered him to her lap, where he regarded her solemnly. She wiped vaguely at her wet cheeks, then somehow mustered a smile. "Well, little guy, I guess it's just you and me." His pink tongue panted in agreement. Stella's smile strengthened and her gaze shifted sideways to the window. Dusk had fallen, and the storm seemed to have spent the worst of its fury. Through fluffy flakes that were now drifting down at a gentler pace, she saw the cheery Christmas lights that edged the roof lines of her neighbors' homes. The strains of Joy to the World wafted in from the kitchen. Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of peace and benediction washing over her. It was like being enfolded in a loving embrace. Her heart beat painfully, but it was with joy and wonder, not grief or loneliness. She need never feel alone again. Returning her attention to the dog, she spoke to him. You know, fella, I have a box in the basement that I think you'd like. There's a tree in it and some decorations and lights that will impress you like crazy. And I think I can find that old stable down there, too. What do you say we go hunt it up? The puppy barked happily in agreement, as if he understood every word. Isn't that a touching story of love between a man and a woman? I'm dedicating this letter specifically to the readers out there who have lost a husband or wife during the last 12 months. Christmas is difficult when we're separated from our loved ones. It is a wrenching experience for those who recently said goodbye to a lifelong partner. Our prayers will be with them in the days ahead. But this blessed time of the year also brings hope to those whose departed loved ones had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A day of reunion is coming when every tear will be wiped away and all sorrow banished. That's why we can say, even in the face of tragedy, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That is the ultimate Christmas gift for those who are searching for meaning and direction in life. Let me conclude by thanking all of you who sacrificed to support Focus on the Family this year. This ministry belongs to you, and we'd love to have you stop by for a visit in the next 12 months. Finally, if you can make a contribution toward the support of this work, it would be appreciated. We do need a significant financial boost here at the end of the year. Either way, have a great Christmas season with your family, and please do remember this work in prayer. We'll be here if you need us next year.
What a wonderful letter. I'm glad that I didn't have to respond during it. I mean, I've read that letter several times, and it still chokes me up to think about that that woman who's all alone. I sat here thinking about my relationship with Nancy, and one day she will be gone, or maybe I'll be gone first, but one of us will be alone. I thought about your mom and how you've talked about how much she missed your dad, her husband. I thought about my dad, who has thought a lot in the last couple of years about losing my mom because she's battled cancer. But it does happen, doesn't it? And at least the relationship that we have with the Lord can carry us on through.
You know, the very thought of that man knowing he was dying,
that's right,
going down and buying a gift for her, recognizing at Christmas time that she would be lonely, thinking ahead and writing her a final little love note. That, I mean, that really grabs me. And, you know, I especially identify with her having that little dog, because it was my dad's dog that comforted my mother after he was gone. And that little dog stood at the head of the stairs for weeks and weeks, looking down, waiting for my dad to come in from the garage. And when my mother was giving away his clothes, the little dog came up and sniffed them on the bed and walked around and then got inside one of the coats and curled up there to be as close to his master as he could. But you know what, Mike? Research shows that those who have a dog after a tragic loss do much better. As a matter of fact, men who have had heart attacks have a 500% better chance of surviving 1 year than those who don't.
Is that
right? The Lord crafted that little animal to express love to the lonely. And not everybody's a dog lover, but I am. Yeah. And that's why this letter really appealed to me. There are people out there who are lonely, Mike. There's something about not having a loved one at Christmas time that's more painful than any other time of the year. And I wrote this letter before one of my very good friends lost her husband in a car accident. And I talked to her today. And I know that this is a tough time for her. And I just pray for all of those who are listening to us today who've gone through a tough year and you just feel like you can't make it. The Lord is there. You will make it. You will survive. You will press on. And someday, because of Him, we'll be together on the other side. What a glorious message at Christmas time.
Amen. And what a joy it is to spend these few minutes together. Our producer has been James Werning. Our host is the man you just heard, Dr. James Dobson. And I'm Mike Trout.
inviting you to join us again when we'll once more turn our hearts toward home.